Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield. By Regions. Get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit Regions.com/anchordown to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. Built Ford Tough. Commodore Hour starts now.
Welcome into this edition of Commodore Hour. We'll talk about the Vanderbilt basketball teams in this show and visit with both head coaches, Jerry Stackhouse and Shea Ralph, coming up in this hour. Kevin Ingram along with Andrew Allegretta. And I guess, Andrew, it's been a busy time for hoops. Real quick on football, though, signing day, the December signing period coming up a week from Wednesday. So it's almost here. I know the coaches, since the season has ended, have been out on the road putting in the work and trying to make those last-minute pitches to get those guys landed.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. It's always our first chance to actually hear the coaches' thoughts on the guys being brought in to the program. Obviously, we're going to hear a lot of positive things about all of these guys coming into the program. I don't think I've ever heard a coach say, you know what, this guy, he's not going to cut it at this level. That's not going to happen, but it's always, as you kind of read through the tea leaves, you can kind of get a perspective on each one of the guys getting brought into the program, how you think they can fit, where they're top level ceiling happens to be for those individual players. So I always enjoy getting the perspective. Make sure you stay tuned to VUCommodores.com and all of the social media channels. I think that'll kind of be the primary outlet for as much information as you can get on signing day about the guys. I think we're basically going to try to just record some interviews and thoughts with as many coaches as possible as the letter of intents start to come in. Again, no more fax machine. Oh, sorry. Man. Those days have, as legendary as they are, have passed us by. I think most people, again, just sign it, take a picture, and like text the letter of intent in, and that counts as well. So I don't know. I guess we could, instead of putting a camera on a fax machine, we could just quite literally put a camera on like Barton Simmons's phone.
Yeah, you could just screenshot stuff.
That's right. But yeah, that would be fascinating.
I'm with you, though. You never hear that. This class is awful.
We really whiffed this year. Stick with us next year.
There's no telling how many guys we missed on in this class. No, you never hear a lot of that on signing day. It's usually, no matter where you go, I know we're joking around, but it's that way pretty much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sacramento State signed its best class ever.
All right. But looking forward to that. Again, December signing period starts next Wednesday. I'm never sure totally how I feel about it. It's a good thing, I think, for some of this to get done in advance of February, but you always sort of look forward to that Wednesday in February when it all went down, but that's changed here in the last few years. As far as basketball goes, men's team on the road at SMU on Saturday lost 84-72, played a really nice first half, especially that final stretch, led 40-28 at halftime. Things got away in the second half. SMU came out, they were red hot out of the break. Vanderbilt turned it over. That turned into points. The Mustangs scored 26 points off 15 Vanderbilt turnovers. Good work in the paint as well, 40-24, and in fast break points, 32-9. Bright spots for Vanderbilt including Scottie Pippen Jr. Hit 8 threes, scored 29. That was his best game in a while, and you could tell at the beginning of the game he was pretty locked in. He came out, made some shots, got on the board early, and got rolling from there. But we'll hear more about his performance from Jerry Stackhouse here in a few minutes, but I think Coach Stackhouse and the rest of the group were disappointed that for a team that usually plays much better in the second half, he didn't feel like they did that in the game in Dallas back on Saturday night.
You know, I'll start here too, right? Vanderbilt holds itself to a standard where it's going to be able to go on the road and get those victories. That's a good SMU team. Mm-hmm. That is worth keeping in your back pocket. As someone that has seen them play personally in the past, Kendrick Davis, who put up 21 points, had 5 steals and 5 assists. He's a transfer from TCU, if I'm not mistaken.
He was.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
He's a good ball player, and he can kind of set the tone for that team. So that's not a slouch opponent that Vanderbilt played. And again, obviously, Coach Stackhouse and the team holds itself to a standard where it can get that victory, but that was a challenge. That was a challenging environment to go on the road and learn something about yourself and what you're going to have to do when conference play rolls around. But like you said, 29 points from Scottie Pippen Jr. It's such an interesting balance. I think it's what we've talked about throughout the course of the season. It's great to see Scottie Pippen have that sort of performance. It's great to see Jordan Wright come up with a double-double, 14 points, 12 rebounds in that ball game. But again, it's to be successful long-term, it can't be the Scottie Pippen show, right? It's got to be three, four, five guys that can score in double figures and lighten the load a little bit from Scottie. But like you said, it was good to see him have that sort of rhythm and connect on 8 3-pointers and just kind of get that feel back to his shot, which has not been explosive so far throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, and Jerry Stackhouse said a whole lot of that's about just getting in the gym and getting those reps and getting that shot fine-tuned. But hey, I think the second half giving up 56 points was a little hard to stomach too for a program and a team that's really been good defensively through this first stretch of games. They had held opponents to 55 points per game over the opening 6 games. SMU outscored Vanderbilt 56-32 in the second half. And a couple more tough games coming up this week. We'll see Temple on Tuesday night. Loyola Chicago will be here on Friday night. We know how good that program has been. So these will be a couple good tests. And I think this group will probably come out on Tuesday feeling like maybe they have something to prove and get it turned around back in the right direction.
Yeah, I think the defense, like you said, will be interesting to follow. As much of a slog as the Mississippi Valley State game was at times, and I recognize that the skill set offensively for the Delta Devils is not, you know, the highest peak of college basketball, but they define themselves in that ball game by making it a slog for Mississippi Valley State. So I would not be surprised if they don't double down defensively and challenge Temple as much as possible. That's, you know, if you're asking me to rank American Athletic Conference teams, which you're not, Kevin, but here, I'll do it anyway. I would have regarded as SMU as the more challenging of the two American Athletic Conference opponents, just having seen them play over the past couple of years. But look, that's an Aaron McKee coach team at Temple, someone that knows what he's doing, another one of those professional guys coming back, just like Coach Stackhouse, to coach at the college ranks. So, yeah, if you let up the throttle, it's going to be challenging.
And he was a terrific player back in the day for that program. So
yes, he was.
And it'll be a 6:30 pregame on the Vanderbilt Sports Network, 7 o'clock tip-off at Memorial on Tuesday night. The women's team went out and played at Allen Fieldhouse at Kansas on Sunday. And if you ask me, the places I've been where we work every day, exclude that from the conversation, Allen Fieldhouse to me is right at or near the top, one of the great venues in college
basketball.
It's
not Assembly
history.
Hall. It's not Cameron Indoor, but you're gonna put Fog Allen right there above them?
For me, Fog Allen is at the top.
Okay. This is devolving into a conversation which has nothing to do with Vanderbilt women's basketball. I suppose I can say it now. Mildly underwhelmed by Assembly Hall in Bloomington.
Oh, yeah? Are you saying this for Gus Wedekamp's benefit? Or?
Yeah, exactly. and Cameron's fantastic, too. I think the thing about all of those places, and even to an extent here at Memorial, is it's the fans, it's the environment, it's the people that kind of makes those places jump and makes them legendary. If you take the banners down from Cameron, it's a really nice high school gymnasium, right? Uh-huh. But you put the banners back up, you put the Cameron Crazies in there, and you put Zion Williamson on the floor,
right.
And it's a different deal. But yeah, Fog Allen is a place that I've never been to. I'm certainly, fingers crossed, I get out there at some point in time. They played well in that ball game, and I think you'll hear it in Coach Ralph's voice. There was a lot of disappointment to not get that victory. They had a halftime lead. Eventually, they lose 74-67. I think the biggest thing, and I asked her about this, is kind of the juxtaposition between how she feels about the growth of this program so far and what the external narrative about the program is so far. Externally, it's like, oh, you guys are 5-5. You're competitive. Only lost to Arizona by 2 points. Only lost to Kansas by single digits. And I think there's a little bit more of a burning fire inside Shea Ralph to not just be competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for her, who's won as much as she
has,
it's not about just being competitive. It's about winning and winning right
away.
Clark
Lee feels the same way through all of his years at Notre Dame. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about it, too. Like, there's a slightly different and I don't know if everyone would agree with it. I think it's easier, quote-unquote, to kind of get a couple of those victories to fall your way in basketball just because of the number of non-conference games that you play and the separation of talent between high and lower levels. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more challenging in football with the finite number of games, and you're playing Stanford if you're Vanderbilt or whatever it is. But both of those coaches very much on parallel journeys, and both of them have a lot of fire to get this thing fixed.
Next up for the Vanderbilt women's team, Wednesday against Albany. Early start here at Memorial Gym, 11 a.m. tip-off. When we come back, Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse joins us. This is Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. We are visiting with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. Busy week for Vanderbilt coming up. A game on Tuesday night against Temple, and then on Friday against Loyola Chicago. And I guess off the game at SMU on Saturday, nice first half. Was the second half kind of a matter, as we talked about, the team just getting sped up a little too much at times?
I think it was a lot of unforced errors. I think we just had we were careless with the ball. And then when they got back into the game, had a nice run there. They had a nice run, and we just didn't respond as well as we could have. I just think our rotations were a little bit slow. They were better in the first half, and then just getting to our zone up on the weak side was a little bit slow, and that was a focus of us, yesterday once we got back to practice. Sure. To make sure that we could, see in action, seeing things a little bit before they happen. With our pick and roll, we got a real risk, reward type of defense. So, we put two on the ball quite a bit, and our weak side has to be tied to that. And, sometimes when you're dealing with, one action and something else happening, we just were late reacting. So hopefully we can continue to get better at that. We were much better yesterday in practice, and hopefully that carries over to the Temple game, because I think we, signed up a good team, and they don't let things like that happen twice. Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure that we'll be focused and a little angry and ready to respond.
Along the lines of what you're just talking about, is there a reminder to your point guards to be a steadying presence when things start getting a little chaotic in situations like that?
Well, yeah, I think we got a couple of, obviously Scotty's our primary ball handler. Mm-hmm. Trey and Tyron have to handle for us, and they have to, become better, just with their ball handling. I think, we had some very uncharacteristic, turnovers that, right in the middle of that run, that's mm-hmm. right in the open court, where it's, happens at half court where they get a ball knocked away and they go in for an uncontested layup. Those type of plays are deflating, and it gives teams some type of, maybe thinking that they can attack us that way. Yeah. But, those guys that have to be focused, and I mean, they can get us in the offense because it's, Scotty's good when he's off the ball as well, and it gives him a somewhat of a rest, when he doesn't have to bring the ball up the court and get us, and initiate offense for us. And, obviously that solves some issues when Rodney gets back. That's why we, brought him in to be that lead guard, and hopefully, he's getting closer. But, but those guys, we need those guys to be able to make plays and be sure with the ball. And they're capable, and we'll continue to work on it. We understand that we're not a finished product. Guys are still developing, but that's just more of a mental thing than physically. They've handled the ball times and times again, and got us into our offense. But when we're on the road, it's even more important, because those type of plays ignite the other team and can kind of besets a little bit.
Scotty had a really nice game, 29 points at 8 threes. Did it seem like early in the game when you see him get off to a good start, you say, oh boy, here we go, he's going to have a good one?
Well, yeah, man, I knew that he would be up for the challenge. Obviously, it was a lot made of him and Kendrick Davis matching up. Those guys were on a lot of, watch lists for, top point guards in the country. And, I knew, he's a gamer, he's going to respond. I think that there were still some plays that that he could have made for his teammates, but it's like when you get it going, you want to keep it rolling. Mm-hmm. But just our team is really, really good when we drive the ball, get in the paint, and we kick it and we move it one more. It seemed like every one of those shots went in, and we just didn't do that enough. Jordan didn't have his best night. He's a guy that we rely on to kind of be that, that second scorer for us right now. And he was just had an off night. It happens. But I mean, I'm looking for him to respond, you know, big, you know, next game, come back with a little bit more focus. Again, I think that's for us. It's just getting back to just business. You know, whenever you have a little bit, sometimes you have to learn how to have success.
Yeah.
You know, we're still learning that. I mean, I just think when we had success in the first half, I felt it a little bit. Like I said, when after the game, I felt it at halftime. I think there was just a little bit too much chatter in the locker room, a little too much going on. And those are things that we'll address. It's like, you know, when you come in at halftime, get you some oranges and, you know,
chill for a minute.
Get you some juices and chill. We don't even really need a whole lot of talking amongst ourselves right there, because you might not be saying the right thing. Yeah. Let the coaches, you know, do their jobs. Yeah. You know, we discuss things at half. I listen to all of our coaches, and, you know, they give suggestions of what they're seeing, and those are the things that we need to kind of address at halftime, not having – you know, the players, you know, have a whole lot of input, and it's hard, and it's easy to get giddy when you're up 12 at the half, not knowing that, you know, that was a really good team that we played. That was an athletic team. That's an older team. That's a team that have, you know, they've been through some wars, and they knew how to respond. But again, I still say we did it to ourselves. You know, we came out, you know, had a great set. Q would make that play, that dunk, you know, 9 out of 10 times. It just so happened that one time that he missed it. That didn't cost us. We still came back down and got a good stop. And then we just we take off and we have another turnover, and that leads to an easy basket. And that kind of started our spiral. So, again, a lot of, you know, not taking anything away from SMU. They did some good things, but as I see it and going back and watching the games, a lot of our things were self-inflicted, and that's what we have to try to avoid. If you're going to beat us, but we can't beat ourselves.
You mentioned Q. Quint Malora-Brown had a really nice first half, especially 8 points and 4 assists, finished up with 8 rebounds. If he can score and give you some presence inside, it's really a lift for this team, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and he has the ability to. We got to play through him a little bit more. I think he makes the game easier. He's a willing passer when he does catch it in the post, and we get into our split action. And, you know, our weak side actions, he's a guy that can make the game easier for all of our guys. And I just think we have to make a more of a conscious effort to let him touch the ball. You know, if he doesn't have anything, then he has the ability to go and score the basketball. He's worked on that, and he did finish around the back. He was really good for us. He only had one mistake defensively, you know, how we graded the game. And so it's just he's continuing to improve and improve and improve, and he's going to be really, really, you know, good, I think, in a second unit when, you know, ultimately when we get Liam back on the floor.
Any update on Liam and for Roddy Chapman?
Liam had an MRI last night. I don't have the results of that. Like, he's been out for 4 weeks now. We talked about giving him 4 weeks for everything to calm down. And last night was the time for him to get the MRI, and we hadn't got the reading or the report back, but hopefully everything comes back positive with that and he's able to start ramping up again. I think Rodney's probably a little bit closer. I'm seeing him on the court. He's still having a little bit of swelling, and that's the thing that we wanted to get all the swelling down before he kind of ramped back up. But, you know, I think those guys are improving. I can't really put a timeline on when exactly they'll be back, but it's good to see both of them back on the court just shooting the basketball again. Yeah. They've been completely down, and now they're starting to get antsy, so I think that's a positive sign.
Visiting with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. We'll have more of Commodore Hour coming up in a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. We continue our visit with Vanderbilt head coach Jerry Stackhouse. Vanderbilt and Temple coming up 7 o'clock on Tuesday here in Nashville. We talked about Scotty a little bit in that first segment. How does his way of approaching games have to change a little bit, just knowing how much attention he's going to get every single game?
Well, I think he understands that. It's going to vary game to game. You know, like different teams have different approaches. Some teams are going to come in and really try to take the ball out of his hand and force other guys to make plays, which is great for us. And we have guys that have that ability, and it gives us an advantage if they want to, you know, kind of put two people on him. And now, you know, we have to make plays. You know, we're going to have advantages. We're going to have, you know, 4-on-3 and 3-on-2 opportunities for us to take advantage of. And he understands that. I talked to him about it before. As the game goes on, as the season goes on, things don't open up for him. And right now, he may not get the 25, 30 points. He may get 10 assists, or as it is right now, he may not get either one. It may be him getting off the ball and almost like hockey assists, allowing other people to make those plays. And Scotty's good with that. He wants to win. So that ultimately that's what it comes down to. But it was good to see him get it going because we need his scoring. We need him to be who he's capable of being. And I don't know how much that, in some of those early games that teams took that away from him. It was just he just wasn't scoring the ball well. Yeah. He had great looks that just didn't go down for him. But he stayed at the continued work on his shot like guys supposed to do when things aren't going well. The secret to no secret recipe is just getting in the gym, working a little harder, getting his eye right, and he was, he was engaged and he was locked in. He was really good against SMU. Unfortunately, we didn't have anybody else to really, kind of step up, from a scoring. We got some good looks from Shane DeZone. Mm-hmm. It was good to see, another guy that's capable of hitting multiple threes in a game. And I think he was able to show that he had the floor game, but he wasn't good defensively either. What I'm saying? Between that three spot, between him and Jordan, they were, we had multiple mistakes from a defensive standpoint, and that's who we are. Our identity has to be defense first and foremost, and we feel like we're fine enough points, but just given, really looking back, they got 16 points, eight in second chance points, and eight off of live ball turnovers, where we were just careless. So that means 16 of their 28 points in the first half. Otherwise, our defense was outstanding.
Yeah.
So you take that, factor in that, and obviously things getting away from us a little bit in the second half. We had like a 50% on defense in the first half and 20% in the second half. So we weren't very good, and that was ultimately where it was our undoing in the game.
Visiting with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. Even though the game didn't go our way on Saturday, fun to go out and see good environments again and be on the road and have the players experience that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's even better when we can see him leaving.
See him leave early. They had to stay to the end of the other night.
To the end, but no, I think it is good. It's good environment for our guys to experience. I mean, it's let you know that college basketball is back. And then we hadn't had an opportunity to experience a lot of that on the road, kind of that animosity of the crowd. But our guys respond. They're competitors, and they want to. They want to play well, and so I just think I'm so eager for us to see how we respond. Good teams don't lose two in a row. They absolutely don't lose three in a row. So I think we'll respond. We'll come back focused. We'll come back a little bit angrier, and hopefully that'll show up in our play.
Well, Shasha and Nikki and the crew, man, they run those trips like a well-oiled machine, don't they? I mean, everything is taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, I have an unbelievable staff, and how, we kind of prepare and make sure we take care of our guys, make sure they're getting what they need to eat, comfortable getting them to the gym to get extra shots, doing all those type of things, making sure that our meeting spaces and everything is right where it needs to be. Josh is unbelievable with that. Nikki, as far as all of our logistics and how we need to operate from a basketball operation standpoint is always on point. So, I mean, they're a big part. I mean, and you can go down the line.
Oh, yeah.
With Carlos and Brandon making sure that the guys are stretched out and everything. So they do a really good job, and now the guys have to go out and perform, and the coaches just need to make sure that we're prepared to give them what we need to.
the players getting toward the end of their semester finals and all that. Do you remember what it was like to try to manage all that as a student athlete in college?
Oh, man, it was always, you know, tough, and especially because you focused on the games. You know that you got good games coming up, but we've had a nice little break this past week where we gave guys, you know, time to really catch up. We had an off day where we, you know, really encouraged them to try to catch up on things if they needed to, especially, you know, traveling on Friday, making sure that you had all your work and everything turned in. And our guys are pretty, you know, independent, you know, from that standpoint. Obviously, we have great, you know, support staff when it comes to, you know, helping those guys with tutoring and everything that they need. Jessica does a great job with them. You know, Blair, nutrition. I mean, it's a really good machine that gives them an opportunity to be their best, not only on the court but in the classroom. So we're thankful for that. Thankful for our university. They you know, our administration, they really, you know, prioritize and make sure that our guys get all the tools that they need to be successful and you know, in the classroom, and that helps them on the court as well when they don't have to have those stresses. But it is a stressful time. I know the finals are coming up, but you know, our projections are everybody's doing well, and hopefully they can finish off strong in finals week.
To wrap up, a challenging week ahead, Temple Tuesday, Loyola on Friday night. There's really good programs. As far as Temple goes, what have you seen out of them that gives you concern?
Well, I mean, they lost their leading scorer, and that's always a concern. It's an opportunity for someone else to step up that we didn't, you know, probably didn't account for. So I mean, it's always a dangerous team, but I feel like they play hard. They you know, have athletes that want to get out in transition. They want to, you know, offensive rebound for the shots that they don't make. They're not a great 3-point shooting team, and that always scares me for teams that hadn't shot it well yet. You know, that eventually numbers kind of balance out. So, again, like, more so than worried about Temple, worried about Loyola, this is the type of time of the season where I'm really focused on us, focused on us and our approach and how we respond to, you know, what we consider somewhat of a letdown, you know, having a great first half. We talked about it, you know, up until this point, it's putting two halves together. For us, you know, in the early part of the season, it's been the second half has been really good for us. And that's probably the first time that the second half wasn't, you know, our better half. So we just got to try to find a way to put two halves together and take care of the ball. I think some of the mainstays in our two losses is our undoing, our turnover percentage and our, giving up second chance points. So we clean those things up, we should be okay.
Coach Jerry Stackhouse, thanks for the time.
I appreciate you. Thanks, Kevin.
More coming up from Nashville in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta here with Jay Ralph, head women's basketball coach here at Vanderbilt. This is our first basketball edition of this show, so we'll get into the weeds. We'll talk about the stats and the players and all of that sort of stuff. But I want the 30,000-foot perspective from the head coach as fans are starting to come to the table throughout the course of non-conference play. For you guys, we've seen you take the trip to the Virgin Islands. You guys just got back from Kansas, sitting here at 5-5 at the moment. What's the 30,000-foot perspective from the head coach on the start of the season and the start of the tenure for you?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I always love talking basketball and talking about our team. My perspective is that we're continuing to get better. Obviously, I would like that to reflect a little more in our win-loss record, but I understand that success is more of a destination, that when we win games, that will be indicative of the process that we're going through. And that, you know, right now we're not winning because we're not quite there. You know, we haven't gotten the details right yet when it matters, and so we have to continue to focus on the process of winning and being excellent and knowing that the success that we'll find out of that, the wins that we'll get, will be an event, will be a destination. And we're trying to teach the players the value of that, understanding that it doesn't happen overnight. Just because you work hard in a couple of practices or in a month of practice doesn't translate to you being a Final Four team. It's a process. And I think they're starting to embrace that, and always, not just on the court, but off the court, in terms of their sleep and how they handle their academic obligations and their nutrition and the investment that they make in each other as people. translates to success on the court.
Yeah.
Those are all things that are really important that you don't see when you watch us play. So it's for us understanding how to help them get better at that, understanding how to manage that for them and be the right leaders for them. And I think we are, because you're seeing that our players are starting to really buy in. I'm really proud of their effort and their energy. You know, I'm disappointed in some of the mistakes that we've made and the close games that we've lost. Because I think that we should have won those games.
Yeah.
But I think that those mistakes will make us better and more prepared to win the games that we need to win down the road and down the stretch in the SEC Conference. So I'm excited about that, too.
You know, sitting from the outside looking in, it's interesting talking to you because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think kind of the external narrative so far this season is, wow, look at the growth of this program so far. Again, 5-5, really competitive in a couple of games that I know you want to flip, whether that's Arizona, whether it's just yesterday against Kansas. Yeah. How does head coach feel about all that, I guess, right? How does the head coach feel about, oh, you know, we're really close, or we're being competitive, or we feel like we've taken strides? Does that make sense for where you want to be mentally with this program at the moment, or are you really trying to drive it to a different level? I'm curious just how the outside narrative sits on the inside.
Yeah, I think both, you know, depending on the time or day that you ask me.
Fair enough.
I do, and I am really proud of them, but I also don't like to lose, and I think that not a lot of people expected us to win, and I'm happy that our team is competing, but that's a baseline expectation for me. That's not a sign of success. Like, we're not going to be any other way. We're going to compete. We are going to fight. We are going to be a team that goes out there and other teams have to beat us. We're not going to be losers, right? And we talked about that early on. We talk about that with our team all the time. So then the flip side of that is, yes, I'm proud of them because I think we're becoming that. I think they're buying. And I think they understand when they do that, how competitive in terms of winning games we can actually be. But the flip side of that is the mistakes that we make, the moments that we decide it's not important enough to make this defensive play, or I'm too tired to do this on offense. It has really hurt us. There's no way you turn a team like DePaul over 17 times in the first quarter and lose that game. There's no way. So those things are, you know, okay, what more do I need to do for them? What have not we worked on that can prevent that? How much better can I prepare them for those moments so that that third quarter lapse that continues to happen to our team doesn't happen anymore? Where am I missing the mark, and how can I better prepare them? I think more about that. I am encouraged by our growth, but I wanted to reflect more.
Talking with head coach Shea Ralph of Vanderbilt women's basketball, I want to talk about a couple of players for a second. And it's hard for me to not start with the Nash Billingen, the Ensworth product, Jordan Cambridge. One, what she's been able to do this season, but her story, I think people know to an extent. She's had multiple knee surgeries. It's been a long road for her, if you also add in the COVID season that took a massive chunk out of her development. But she has come this year, and she has been, I don't know if you would put the heartbeat label or whatever label you want to put on it. Just your perspective on what she has meant to this team in this moment for you as a first-time head coach.
Every team should have a player, and every coach should coach a player like Jordan, who just, her joy for playing the game is effervescent.
Yeah.
It just, you can feel it when she walks onto the court. And I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. It also resonates with me because of the injuries that I went through and understanding the value and the feeling that she has every day of being able to play the game that you love that maybe she thought she was never going to play again. And you see that from her every day. You also see that she struggles through pain to do it. And you understand that it means something to her because she's fighting to do that not only for herself but for her team and for us as her new coaching staff. So what does she mean to this team? It really can't be put into words. It's priceless.
Yeah.
We would not be the team we are without Jordan Cambridge. Not even close. She is the soul. I mean, the heartbeat is what she's the whole soul of our team.
Well, I was trying to scale myself down from grandiose, but you just popped it to another level.
It is. And that doesn't mean that she's the only. I mean, she's a huge defining piece of who we are. And who we want to be, and it's about all the things that she can control, because she could make it about her. She could make it about the pain. She could make it about the story that she has to get out on the court. She could get really frustrated when things don't go her way. She could, but she doesn't. And every day she comes ready to work. She encourages our teammates. She never complains. She does everything we ask her to do, and more. She's everything you need on a team to be great.
From like a granular level, what is difficult for her right now? Does she still deal with certain, I mean, we don't have to get into all of it if you don't want to, that's fine. But like where is her, where is she struggling? You said she's playing through pain and all of that sort of stuff. Is it kind of generic or are there things that like she actually physically has to manage herself with?
Yeah, I you know, that's probably a better question for her. But my conversations with her, and understanding what she's going through, it's not, that's just normal.
Yeah.
Like when you go through what Jordan has gone through, and most players, once you get to a certain level in your career, you're not going to feel great every day. You're not going to feel perfect. There's always going to be something that's aching or hurting. Hers is different. And you have to decide for her and for us, okay, what can she play through in practice or in games, and what do we need to be really careful of and back off of so that she can continue to compete, that we can make sure that we do our part in taking care of her. And then, you know, it's a lot of time and energy into maintenance for her, prehab and treatment and making sure she's ready to play and then recovering after she plays. All of those things that that players that haven't been through that or will never be through that don't really understand, and people don't either. It's neither here nor there. It's just what she has to do, and it's really cool because she does it with a smile on her face every day. She loves to play basketball. I love coaching her, and our team is better for having her on. I mean, she's our captain. We're so much better for having Jordan Cambridge on our team.
Talking with head coach Jay Ralph, we'll step aside, continue our conversation in just a couple of seconds after this on the Commodore Hour. Welcome back to tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta here with Jay Ralph, head women's basketball coach here at Vanderbilt. All right, so we talked a little bit about Jordan Cambridge a second ago. Went right to the top shelf. Soul of the team. Yeah. I want to touch on a couple of other players, and we've got a lot of these shows, so we'll get you the whole roster, I suspect, throughout the course of the year. But the other name that if you just grab the stat sheet, you go, okay, we need to talk about her is Brené Alexander. What has she been able to unlock throughout the course of this season so far, and where do you continue to ask more from Brené?
Brené has grown leaps and bounds already through the course of the season. Obviously, her and Jordan have been playing together since fourth grade, so it's a really cool relationship to see between the both of them because they're so different, but they complement each other so well on the court. Brené is more of a scoring guard. Jordan is more of a facilitating guard. Brené is bigger and stronger. Jordan is smaller and slighter. And their personalities match as well in terms of having seniors on your team. Jordan is more, I'll lead with actions, and she's starting to come into her voice and learning what the impact that has.
And she did a wonderful job on our SEC Network Plus broadcast. I think we had her on after the Chattanooga game, and she was thoughtful, insightful, very well spoken. So it's just interesting for me to hear you say that she's finding her voice, because I think I heard it the other night against Chattanooga when she talked to us post game.
Yes, and I think her relationship with Brené on and off the court has helped her with that. Brené is much more outgoing, in that way. Like, you'll hear her voice more off the court, and she has a fire about her that's different than Jordan, but they complement each other well. And it's neat because both of them have also come off some pretty tough injuries, and kind of traveled that path together. I think there's still growth for both of them. And Brené, we need her to be as impactful as you've seen in spurts on both ends of the floor all the time, consistently. And the same for Jordan. We need them both to stay out of foul trouble because they need to be on the floor. And then we need them both to make open shots when they get them. And that's not an effort or energy thing. I think in those ways, those two are invaluable to our team, but continuing to become better as basketball players and understanding how we can put them in better positions of success, how they can do that for each other and their teammates on the floor, is part of that relationship between your coaching staff and your senior leaders that will cultivate every single day. But obviously, When you watch us play and the game's on the line, those two kids you see on the floor, and most everything goes through them.
You said they've played together, I think, since fourth grade. What's the backstory there?
They played together forever. That you know, they grew up as best friends, and they have that kind of relationship that you just don't see a lot, especially in college basketball at this level. Not a lot of kids have been playing together since fourth grade on the same team. So I think that's very meaningful for them. I think the path that they've traveled here at Vanderbilt has been, you know, ridden with highs and lows and adversity and complications and injuries and all those things that have kind of steeled their friendship and relationship together. And I think this being their senior year, they want it to really mean something. And you can see that every day.
Talking with head coach Shea Ralph of Vanderbilt women's basketball, coming off a single-digit loss at Kansas just yesterday. What's the post-game conversation about what went well and what did not go well? Because you guys did have a lead. I think, I don't know if it was right at the start of the third quarter like you were talking about, but and then it kind of drifted away on you guys. But the good and the bad after leaving Allen Fieldhouse for you guys.
The good is that again, I think you saw who we are in terms of our energy and our effort, our competitiveness, that we were in position to win the game. And I feel like we should have won the game. That's the good. The bad is that we didn't.
Yeah.
And why didn't we? We were up by 9 at halftime. They scored 19 points in the first half. And then I think they scored, you know, it was over 50 in the second half. And it's just unacceptable. So we have some things to dig into there to make sure that we understand why that happened, because it's happened a couple times now. It happened at DePaul, or when we played DePaul in the Virgin Islands. And it affects our ability to win the game. And so that takeaway from me, we have to get better in our second half effort and execution, especially in the third quarter. I mean, we had that lead, and it, you know, took us the whole first half to get it. And within 4 minutes of the third quarter, the game was tied. That's just, it can't happen. So we have to address that. But the good part is we were in position to win that game. And I think our kids really believe that we can win that game. Now we have to technically and strategically get better in all areas so that we can drive that consistently home, and that the next time we're in position up at halftime, we win the game.
Right.
We win the game.
Not an excuse by any means. How much was size a factor in that ball game with Kansas? I don't know. Going through whether it's the roster and the height, because that's something that you and I have talked about, that going throughout the course of the SEC is going to be Vanderbilt is not a team loaded with 6'5", 6'6" players. So finding strategies to compensate or play basketball differently is going to be a factor. I don't know if this was kind of one of the earlier tests for you guys about managing just how the team is built.
Right. Certainly we talked a lot about how this is what we're going to see. And the conference, they have a lot of size. I don't think it's a factor. It doesn't need to be, because we can't control it. So I can't control that they're bigger than us. They are. But we can control how we play against that. Mm-hmm. We can control how we defend, how we box out, the mistakes that we make or don't make. So I focus on the things that we can control. Yeah, they were bigger, but we still should have won the game. Mm-hmm. We can control for somewhat the foul trouble that we get in or that we get them in. And you can't control the refs. I said this yesterday to our team. I say that more for myself than I do for them.
We say it as fans too.
Yeah,
by the way.
It's just it's hard. But it's good, because we're going to see that a lot. We're going to go on the road in hostile environments in the SEC. We play at South Carolina this year. That's the number one team in the nation. So no one's going to do us any favors. And there's no excuse going in there for why we can't do something or what they have that we don't have. We have what we have, and it's enough. It will always be enough if we play the way I think we can and the way we need to consistently throughout four quarters to be able to win games like that.
Coach, I'm going to get you out of here on this one. Pardon me for taking you a place where your brain is not necessarily, but I do keep coming back to the biggest picture with Vanderbilt, which is Vandy United and everything that is on the way here. I'm just curious if you can speak to, I guess, your own personal standards and the standards that you see being set by Candace Lee and the support structure set up behind it, Vandy United.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, this place is really special. And I get questions all the time because I've been in basketball for so long at a place, you know, that was pretty visible and maybe one of the most, if not the most successful storied program in women's basketball history. And people ask me why I left. And when you meet Candace and you talk to Candace and you understand the kind of leadership and the partnership that her and Chancellor Dearmeyer have and all the things that are on the horizon for Vanderbilt at the university and also our athletic department, you understand that this place is really special and that we have things here that you can't buy in terms of our leadership that I know you have to be extremely successful because I've seen it. And I'll tell you, most places don't have it. No one has a Candace Lee. We have her.
Yes.
She is why I'm here. Because her vision, her investment, and what she does to back that up is something I've not ever seen before. And her partnership with our chancellor is something I've not ever seen before. It's the kind of leadership. It's the kind of administration. It's the kind of intangible, like, we have it. She has it. You know, we talk about that in recruiting. Do they have it or do they not? We have it here. And, you know, outside looking in, you can see the videos of Vandy United. You can listen to the details of it. But you don't see all the inner workings of what's happening and why it's happening and who's in charge. And that is so exciting. And that's something that we have that I want to be part of, that our recruits want to be part of, that my staff wants to be part of, that is not happening anywhere else in the country. So fans and boosters and alums and just people that support Vanderbilt University should be really, really, really excited because this is only the beginning. And what we have moving forward is going to shock a lot of people, is going to surprise a lot of people, is going to make a lot of people happy because it's only a matter of time before it becomes something that we all know it should be and it will be behind Candace Lee and Chancellor Dearmeyer.
Take us wherever you may go with the Game National app.
Sports Network from Learfield. So once again, thanks to Coach Ralph and Coach Stackhouse. We'll have men's basketball coming up tomorrow as they will take on Temple from Memorial Gymnasium in Nashville. So until then, for all of us here at the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, I'm Gus Wedekamp signing off.
Thanks for listening to Commodore Hour. Tonight's episode was brought to you by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. Built Ford Tough by Regions. Get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit regions.com/anchordown to order yours today. And by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.